WTTS on demand.
Hey, this is Scott Riggs backstage at Bonnaroo 2012, hanging out with Michael Kiwanuka. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Great. You have a show today, right?
Yes. I'm playing at about midday, 12:15. Very excited. My first Bonnaroo, and still only like my third time to the US, so very happy.
So what are festivals like for you? I mean, I talked to a lot of bands and they have different kinds of sounds. What, you know, I'm sure you do something different knowing that you have such a bigger crowd and people that didn't necessarily come to see you. People walking by and you want to get their attention, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a different set. I mean, we had a little rehearsal yesterday here in Nashville, and it's kind of a different set to, say, like a club gig or an insider. So, yeah, there's just a bit more room to breathe, a band to kind of fill up the space if it needs be. But, you know, still pretty mellow music, so I still have a lot of space for the mellow things. I want to still be myself.
Yeah, so I'd love to hear from you about, where you grew up and how that the music scene where you grew up kind of influenced you and got you along.
Yeah, basically, I grew up in a town called Muswell Hill in North London. And it was seen as a pretty good thing to pick up an instrument and play, kind of spend your time doing that as like extracurricular, you know. So it was kind of cool to do that. So there's a lot of musicians from a young age. So I started about 12, 13. People were listening to loads of bands, you know, but you would listen to like new bands of the time. So when we were like 13, 14, it was like, you know, early Kings of Leon, like Strokes and Green Day and stuff like that. But then you would listen to older music too, so you'd also check out like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin and Hendrix. So I got into guitar through listening to that kind of music and joining a band and trying to cover those songs. And but it's like the older music really seemed to excite me and kind of got me going on trying, and then discovered soul music like Marvin Gaye and stuff. So you just can, but there's always places to play and gig and play at school, you know, school concerts. And then I just started hanging out with other bands outside of school, older musicians, and checked out bits of jazz, went to jam sessions. So that was really my musical upbringing. It was just basically, luckily, growing up in Muswell Hill was just a place where there's loads of opportunities to kind of get started and get going and joining bands. And it was seen as just a thing to do, you know, to buy CDs. And
yeah, one of the interesting things, especially about bands from the UK and artists from the UK, is that I find they often go to school and study music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think, is it that the culture just kind of encourages that and supports that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, for me, I went and studied even after like secondary school for a bit, because it kind of, I knew I wanted to be a musician, but it kind of appeased my parents kind of as well, because you can get, you can get like a piece of paper saying that you're working, but at the same time you get to play guitar every day. So it's I think a lot of people in my boat kind of, that's why a lot of people kind of study it, kind of gives you time to kind of hone your craft, I guess, without having to get another job. But you know, the best way really is just to do gigs and play and like join bands and listen to records and stuff.
So I read that as you started your trek into being a musician, you gravitated to the guitar, and that's what you thought you were going to do, and then you were kind of encouraged by friends and such to start singing. At what point, as you were, I mean, I think about this in talking to a lot of bands and just people who have moderate interest in it, but it's not like everyone can just go, yeah, I'm going to be a singer and have a great voice and everything. Yeah. So it's like, at what point did you realize, well, I've got a pretty good voice and I can do this?
Yeah, well, it was about 3 years ago. So I was trying to do kind of session guitar playing and stuff, but I wasn't really getting anywhere and it wasn't as fulfilling. So I thought I'd write songs maybe for other people, but the way I write songs is kind of doesn't really work to give it to, I don't really have that down to write a song that it would sound good for like a someone else singing it. I kind of have to sing it. It kind of gets weird like that. So someone told me, look, you're going to have to sing them. So I began because I loved writing music, but people seemed to enjoy the voice, like demoing and stuff. And I was pretty nervous, but that kind of encouraged me. And then I did a gig about my first gig just over 3 years ago now, and the feedback was good. I really enjoyed it. People seemed to enjoy it. And so I thought, I'm going to give this a go. So that's kind of how it happened. So yeah, it's a bit weird. It wasn't the first plan, but I'm glad I fell into it, because it's definitely cool.
So we talked about guitar and kind of how you gravitated and developed your sound, and then you know, it seems like you've kind of moved towards the classic soul, which is great. I'm kind of wondering, though, as you move to that, you look at mainstream music, you don't see a lot of that out there. No. Did you feel pressure to, like, is this going to work? Or
yeah, totally. Like, all the time, really. I remember making, well, this album, kind of sitting in the studio, loving it, obviously, because, you know, you make music, you make music that you want to make. But then I'd listen to it and think, how the hell is this going to, you know, get played on wherever needs to get played on to get to wherever you need to be. And so I'd sit there and not really feel the pressure, but just thought, well, you know, if anything's a bonus, you know, if it sells like 10 records, I'll be happy. But, you know, I'll be happy with it. But luckily for me, it's kind of, for some reason, you know, it kind of caught, in England anyway, some attention, and it got the kind of career rolling along, you know. And even to this day, every time I set up and play and do a gig, I was thinking, you know, people are going to... not get it, but kind of, it's kind of different, but I'm kind of into that. So yeah, I was definitely not worried, but it was definitely interesting to see what would have happened to it.
So last question for you is about the album. Mm. Now, obviously it's a big deal, and it's a culmination of a lot, you know. It's like they say you have your whole life to write that first big album. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, so there's some songs on there that are like I wrote like 3 to 4 years ago, and there's some songs that I wrote like a year ago whilst we're making the album. So it's quite a wide span. And I needed a lot of kind of like jolting or like a kick to kind of just really give everything, because I was always kind of worried about each step. So I was very comfortable at the first when I started making it with the kind of acoustic, just me and a guitar, which is always the thing, probably my favorite thing. But I was a bit worried to experiment with other things above that, thinking that I wouldn't be able to pull it off. But kind of as we were making it and getting stuck, I kind of was encouraged to kind of play with more instruments and slightly fuller sounds, so that we could have a varied record and also have a place to go to have a career, you know. And so the record was a combination of all of that, kind of discovering my voice as well and going back to playing a bit more guitar, obviously still with the original kind of acoustic-y stripped back thing, and then mixed with a lot of jazz and all the other extra instruments that are on the record. They're quite exotic, from like sitars to charangos to flutes. That was really picked up with the producer, Paul Butler, who kind of encouraged me to put those instruments into my music. And that was definitely an offshoot of working on this album. So it's really been a great experience, and opened my mind up to things.
Michael Kiwanuka, backstage at Bonnaroo 2012. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. WTTS On Demand.